This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Do you know what is more haram than the sin we commit at times? Yes. Do you know what is more haram than the haram that we do at times? Is to lose hope in Allah and believe that He will not forgive us. That is a grave, major sin. May Allah protect you and I from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the 10 groups from the whole Quran that He says He loves them, is a group known as At-Tawwabin, those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know that only one time Allah said that He loves them in the Quran? And do you know what's the ayah? Before we jump to that ayah that talks about At-Tawwabin and how Allah loves them, let's really briefly understand what does Tawbah mean? Tawbah, what does that mean? Tawbah means Ar-Rujur, which is to return. You're making a U-turn. So if I tell you do Tawbah, it's like I'm telling you make a U-turn. Technically speaking, when we say Tubu, return, it means return from where? From the things that Allah hates. Return from the things that Allah hates to the things that Allah loves. Ar-ruju' mimma la yuhibbuhu Allah ila ma yuhibbuhu Allah. So you let go of that haram thing that you're doing, that action, move away from it, return, and go to the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. May Allah make you and I of at-tawwabin. Ameen rabbil alameen. Now, let's go ahead, inshallah, and before we talk about the ayah, let's say why was it revealed. عن أنس رضي الله عنه, an authentic narration, أن اليهود كانوا إذا حاضت المرأة فيهم لم يؤكلوها ولم يجامعوهن في البيوت. Anas radiallahu anhu says that the Yahud, when their spouses, the wife, used to go through that menstruation, that cycle, they used to actually not eat with her in the same place, same room. They actually used to distance themselves completely from them. أي لم يخالطوها ولم يساكنوها في بيت واحد. They would avoid her at all costs, even different home if possible. فسأل أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the companions, they asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about the situation. Here Allah revealed an ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, this is from Surah Al-Baqarah. Are you ready, inshallah? Allah says in the Quran, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you about the menstruation, that cycle. And based on the reason of the revelation, the question is what? They ask you about being intimate with the spouse during that time. Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. Say it is a harm. This cycle is a test of hardship on the woman, and of course on the man, but definitely on the woman. فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيطِ. So Allah says in the Quran, you should be away from approaching the wife or the spouse for intimate relationship. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this ayah was revealed, what did he say? اصْنَعُوا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا النِّكَاحِ. He's telling the brothers and the sisters and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when the woman is going through that cycle, behave normally towards that individual. Behave completely fine towards that wife and towards that sister. And the only thing you away from your wife is from the intimacy part. But everything else is fine. You eat together on the same table, stay in the same room. No, everything is completely fine. Not how the Yahud were very extreme about it. Aisha radiallahu anha, what does she say? النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتكئ في حجري وأنا حائض ثم يقرأ القرآن. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, don't forget, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to put his head on the lap of his wife Aisha and read Quran while she was going through her menstruation, through that cycle. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. Do not come into the intimate relationship until they are purified and that cycle ends. فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ. And once the cycle ends and they are purified, and to add to that, they take a shower and so on, فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. Then once they're done, they're all good, they're purified, then you may approach your spouse the way Allah allowed you to approach your spouse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, In authentic narration, من أتى حائضة, whoever approaches their spouse while they are in that cycle, in the menstruation, what did the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. Then they have disbelieved in what Allah has revealed unto Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a major, major sin for the husband to approach the spouse during that time, during that cycle. But what did Allah say after that? It's a major sin. But after that, Allah says, and the only time in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah loves who turn those who turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if that sin was committed. May Allah protect us all and forgive us, Amir Rabbil Alameen, for all our sins. So Allah says, I will forgive you. I will love you if you ask for my forgiveness and you change your ways and you return from the thing that Allah hates to doing the thing that Allah loves. So this was the context of the ayah where Allah says that He loves those who repent. But let's go deeper into the meaning of tawbah and at-tawabin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some people, they may fall into this trap, shaitan's whispers or the evil from within themselves or ignorance. They think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all about punishment. Yes, we have to make it very clear. Allah severely punishes those who deserve it. But on the same token, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. And one of His names, Allah's names, Asma'illah, is what? At-Tawwab. That's Allah's name. Is that He's the one who accepts your return. He's the one who accepts your apology. Do you know to what extent Allah's rahmah and Allah's forgiveness is to us? This is one of the most beautiful ahadith to display Allah's love and mercy towards those who have committed sins and they are repenting to Allah. Are you ready, inshallah? Yalla, bismillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لله أشد فرحا بتوبة عبده. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's joy and happiness when you repent to Allah, when I go back to Allah and ask for His forgiveness, to what extent Allah is happy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you this demonstration. Are you ready, inshallah? Yalla, bismillah. He says the example of the one, let me just change the slide, the example of the one who is sitting and traveling with his camel, and the camel is packed with all his luggage, okay? His clothing, his food, and everything. And all of a sudden, what happens, brothers and sisters? That camel that the brother was sitting on and so on, after he takes a rest, that camel goes away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say? That individual who lost the camel feels that it's only a matter of time until he dies. Because he is in the middle of nowhere, the food, the drink is gone, it was on the camel, and that man rests on a tree and is waiting for death to come. That's it, there's no way, خلاص, no hope, ما في أمل. And all of a sudden, as he takes like a quick nap or he dozes off, then he opens his eyes, lo and behold, guess who came back to him? The camel. The camel came right back to that person who was leaning on the tree. Then out of joy, can you imagine how happy he is? Can you imagine how excited? Like you're that's it, you're like burying your own grave, that you have no hope, and now all the hope in the world came. So this man says to Allah, and I'm not gonna make a mistake, inshallah. This man says to Allah, oh Allah, you are my slave, and I am your God. That's why he said, Allah, you are my slave, and I am your God. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أخطأ من شدة الفرح. He made a mistake for how happy he was. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained how happy that man was. And you can clearly see how happy he was, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah is happier than this man, because that man repented back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves it when you come back to Him. People may get annoyed when you keep saying, sorry, sorry, I apologize, right? And they have all the right to get annoyed. You know, we're human beings. It's very understandable. Some teachers, they get irritated. The student keeps saying, I'm so sorry. Enough. Do your homework. Do this and that. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves sincere apology. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no one loves udhur, apology, more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should this not motivate you and I? That's why we should never ever lose hope in Allah, because this is what shaitan wants, brothers and sisters. Pay close attention to this. Shaitan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, that shaitan says, وَعِزَّتِكَ يَا رَبْ, I swear to you, Allah. That's a shaitan making an oath. What does he want? لَا أَبْرَحُ أَغْوِي عِبَادَكَ مَا دَامَتْ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ فِي أَجْسَادِهِمْ, I will continue to try to ruin the lives of your slaves. I will ruin every man and every woman, young and old. I just destroy them all as long as there is a soul in their body. Until their last breath, I will try to destroy them. Hada shaytan. You know what Allah said? وَعِزَّتِ وَجَلَالِي, and I swear by my might and honor, لا أزال أغفر لهم ما استغفروني, and I swear that I will continue to forgive them as long as they continue to seek my forgiveness. See Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to ask you a question. Feel free to comment. Feel free to discuss with your family. Who is the most merciful of creation on earth? Creation. من هو أرحم الخلق؟ Yalla, bismillah. Who do you think it is? Yalla, feel free to comment, discuss with your family. Who is the most merciful of individuals on earth? What do you think it is? Who do we have here? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, definitely. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now that he passed away, alayhi wa sallam, who around you is the most merciful person towards you? Yalla, bismillah. Who would it be? Who would it be? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. I think one of us got it. It is our mothers, sister Fadia. May Allah grant you Jannah. Our mothers, brothers and sisters. Naam. Tab, what's the relationship? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to give you the greatest example, manifestation of rahmah on earth, which is the mom. Okay, as a father, I won't be offended for that. Mom's rahmah is just on a whole other level. Alright? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, after, let me explain the story for you. There was a group of people, okay, in the desert under the heat of the sun. And there was a little bit of kind of chaos towards one lady. She was going from one tent to the other tent, from one tent to the other tent, from one group to the other group under the heat of the sun. Yani people are resting and so on, but she's like in a panic mode from one place to the other, one place to the other. What's going on? She's looking for her baby. She lost her baby. And she's not resting. Though it was a moment of exhaustion and the people were taking rest and so on, drinking water, she's not looking for water. She's not looking for food. All of her concern is, where is my baby? And then she was looking and looking until she finally found her baby. And right when she got the baby, فَأَلْسَقَتْهُ بِبَطْنِهَا وَأَرْضَعَتْ, right away she grabbed the baby and she started to breastfeed the baby. And when she breastfeeds the baby, that makes her even lose more energy, more nutrients, subhanAllah, makes her weaker and weaker. But that's the rahmah of the mother. No one knows its true value and limit except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this amazing, merciful moment of a mother towards her child, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asks the sahaba around him, do you guys ever imagine, does it ever cross your mind that this mother would ever try to ruin her baby? Would ever just get her baby and just throw him into a place of fire and just destroy that baby and ruin his life? So they said, no way, Ya Rasulullah, impossible, unless maybe there's a gun on her head or something, but no way. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, therefore, لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا, Allah's mercy to you and I towards his slaves is even greater and much more than the mercy of that mother towards her baby, towards his child. Allahu Akbar. When you get to have a God that you worship like that, it gives you so much hope. But not false hope. La la, may Allah protect us. May Allah forgive us from having that false hope. What's that false hope? Someone that does the mistake and is doing it and even plans it. Then the people says, Ya Akhi, this is wrong. He says, Ya Akhi, Allah Ghafoor Rahim. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this whatsoever. Allah hates it. Those who plan their oppression, those who plan their disrespect, and then mockingly say, Allah Ghafoor Rahim. La, A'udhu Billah. May Allah protect us and forgive us. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, and especially now with Ramadan, I want to share with you this hadith. One last one. There's a lot to talk about, but one last one to demonstrate Allah's rahmah and love to all of us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends every single night to the first sama', the sama' al-dunya. حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر, until the last third of the night. So when the last third of the night starts, that's when Allah descends. How do we calculate the night? You go from Isha, you go to Fajr, and you divide that by three. From Isha to Fajr, you divide that by three. The last third is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. Allah says three things. مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ. Who here has any request, any demand that they want so I can fulfill that for them? مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأَعْطِيَهُ. Who here wants, for example, something that of necessity that they can ask for? The first one was dua, Allah will respond to. The other one is a need that you need to, that you want, and Allah will provide it for you. Then the third one, مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Who wants my forgiveness? Who needs my maghfirah? To forgive them and not punish them for the mistake that they've done. فَأَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. And I promise I will forgive. Allah says that every single night in the last third of the night. So if we were awake at that time, please be sure that that moment is a moment of respect to Allah. And especially if we are able to plan that moment of the night to be able to seek Allah's forgiveness. May Allah forgive us all. Ameer Rabbil Alameen. But now the question comes, Jazakallah khair, brother. We appreciate it. But how do we go to Allah and make proper tawbah? And this is very, very important, brothers and sisters. May Allah make us all of those who make appropriate tawbah. Say Ameen. Ameen. Okay, I changed the image for you. You might be like, okay, what's the point of this broken glass? You know what? We have this broken glass. We made this sin. We've made this mistake. And we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. How shall we do it? I want your undivided attention. May Allah bless you and protect you. I'm going to actually even use my board, inshallah, okay? Ya Allah, bismillah. So when it comes to tawbah, appropriate repentance, there's three things. One to do with what? The past, al-madi. One to do with the present, al-hadir. And one to do with the future, al-mustaqbal. You have to do this, this, and this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your repentance. Let's do the past first. When it comes to the past, you have to regret. You have to what? What's the word? All of us, we have to know this. When it comes to the past, you have to regret. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, an-nadamu tawbah. The main pillar of Allah accepting your apology, for Allah to accept your seeking of His forgiveness, for Allah to accept your return. Now we said tawbah is to return. You want Allah to accept your return and have the doors open for you? You have to regret what you've done. If you come in like, you know what, I have no regrets, we keep learning from our... No, don't mix things, please. Yes, we will learn from our mistakes, but I feel bad for doing it. You don't come all arrogant to like, you know what, we all do mistakes. You're broken. You should be broken. And you're like, you know, I seek Allah's forgiveness. Rabbi ighfirli. Not only like you're boasting, I'm a human being, we all do mistakes. That's not how you approach. That doesn't look like you are regretful at all. May Allah protect us and forgive us and make us sincere. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So when it comes to the past, we have to regret. Okay, that's great. Tayyib, what about the present? When it comes to the present, brothers and sisters, you have to stop the sin immediately. You cannot be like, you know what, inshallah, in 2 months, and you know I'm doing this haram thing right now, and inshallah, as I get older, I become, 25, 74, when I retire, when I go to Hajj. No. Right now, al-an, right now, in the present. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says in the Quran, what? وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ عَلَى طُولٍ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. The moment these people, they commit a sin, they wrong themselves, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and they seek Allah's forgiveness. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who forgives other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So you have to stop immediately. I want to give you the example of the coffee that you see that is broken, or that juice. If let's say, pretend this is a bottle of water. Let's just pretend this is a bottle of water, okay? And then the bottle is open. And then someone, by accident, he pours water on me. Khalas, the water is being poured on me. I have a question for you, brothers and sisters. How does that person fix this mistake? The first thing that he needs to do is he needs to stop, you know, spilling the water on me. So he needs to tilt the bottle and let the water settle, or the coffee or so. So the spilling needs to stop. If he does this and he keeps spilling and spilling and spilling on me and ruining my clothes, and he's like, brother, I'm so sorry. Ishada, what kind of tawbah is this? You know, I just give me like 2 more hours. Ya akhi, stop right now. I don't accept your apology if you're going to keep doing this. It's the coffee is all over the place. So you need to stop right now with that regret. And is that enough? Is that enough? I'm sorry, sincerely. Okay, good job. I regret what I did. Great job. I stopped. Good. So you're done with the past. You're done with the present. But what about the future? You got to buy me a new shirt. You got to buy me a new t-shirt, brothers and sisters. Or give me something to clean my shirt with, or I can pass it down to you. You wash it up, but you have to make up for it. هذا المستقبل. You gotta make up for it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also teaches that. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran? He says in the Quran, إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your repentance and you try to make up for the sin that you've committed. So you do a good deed. I'll give you an example. Someone did the haram while they were alone in their bedroom, for example. We learn from our mashaykh that one of the best ways to make up for that 15 minutes that you were on that app and you watch this and you listen to that is to be able to make in that spot something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you ask Allah's forgiveness, you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that sin in private, do a tawbah, for example, in private. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a beautiful hadith, ready for this? He says, whoever makes wudu, like a proper wudu, and then prays 2 raka'at to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens, brothers and sisters? Allah will forgive you for that sin that you've committed. You've made a sin, you feel very bad, you make wudu, Allahu Akbar, 2 raka'at, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for that which you have done, and you do your absolute best to make sure that you make up for it as much as you possibly can. What did Allah say? وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِّ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إن الحسناتي, the good deeds, يذهبن السيئات, they erase the bad deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you and I to be able to remember this. Ameen ya رب العالمين. طيب brother, shall we move forward? No. There's one more thing. What is it? If the thing that you and I have done of haram involves other people, you gotta fix it. If you stole from someone some money, some jewelry, huh? You gotta bring it back. Oh, I'm so sorry, brother. Jazakallah khair. I promise I'll not do it again. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib, where's the jewelry? I sold it and then I now have this car here. Go sell your car. Give me the money that you stole from me. That's the appropriate tawbah. You took someone's rights, you return back the rights. Wallahi, you go to Hajj. A million times, huh? A million times you go to Hajj. Like, oh, I'll be like a newborn baby. You ain't no newborn baby. Okay? No, it's not. Until you give the haq back to the people. If the mujahid, the shaheed, he gave up his life fi sabilillah, will not go to Jannah when he owes someone what? Money. Sah? Ad-dain. May Allah protect us, brothers and sisters. But we need to do whatever is necessary to be able to pay back and give back the rights. And if we were sincere, Allah will take care of us, inshaAllah. Is that clear, inshaAllah? Naam. Now, the question I want to move forward, inshallah, before I conclude. Before the conclusion, there's a very important part. What is it? Brother, give us some advice. Advice of what? Bismillah. Advice on how to be able not to fall into sin. How are we able to do this? Yallah. We're not going to say, okay, it's like, for example, what happens sometimes? You want to donate money to someone. Someone is in need. Okay? Brother, help me. I need some money. This is $100. Here you go. I don't want this session to be like that only. I want to give you the $100 and I want to help you put your resume together to get a job. Okay? So we shared with you Allah's rahmah, great. How to make tawbah, fantastic. But I want to also share with you and remind myself How do I not keep falling into sin? Are we ready, inshallah? Yalla, bismillah. Now there's loads of things that we can talk about, but I'll share with you, inshallah, a few steps. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Number one, avoid putting yourself in position to sin. Yani inta, you know that every time at this time when you're around these guys, you talk things that are backbiting and gossiping and it's haram. And every time you try to work things out, it doesn't work out. Yeah, you need to avoid being in such places. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't even approach zina, that major sin. Don't even come close to it. Allah did not say in this ayah, don't do it. No, don't even come near. And subhanAllah, if you come near, khalas, the chances of you sinning are very slim now. Any moment you're about to fall. So number one is try to avoid putting yourself in places and situations where you will be disrespecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is very dear to me, very important, very, very motivational. Yalla, ready for number two? You have to believe that what Allah made haram for you is something you can stay away from. One more time. You have to believe what Allah made haram for you is something that you have enough strength in you to be away from. Because Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will not give you something, assign you something you cannot withstand. So now, next time you see that sin that you continue doing, these phone calls sometimes people do to the wrong people who you're not supposed to be doing, relationships that are haram, consuming food and drink that are inappropriate. Like, bro, I can't imagine my life without this action that is haram. No, you need to start imagining because you are capable of it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if I tell you do not do something, stay away from that thing, then make sure you stay away from it. The Prophet did not say do your best. No, stay away, stop it, just quit it. Quit it, it's done, it's over. But when the Prophet continued the hadith, you know what he says? وَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. But when I tell you to do something, now it's an obligation, wajib. Not haram to be away from. No, now it's wajib, you gotta do it. Then do your best. Have khushu' in salah. Focus in salah as much as you can. Do your best, all right? Be sincere, do your best, all right? Do proper hajj, proper this and that. Do your best. But when it comes to the haram, he didn't say do your best. He said quit it. It's over, done. Don't talk, khalas. Do whatever is necessary to make sure you quit it. You get counseling, advice, nasiha, you gotta believe in here. And in here, I can quit this haram. Khalas, Allah is telling you through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is telling you in the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not assign you something that you cannot bear and withstand. I hope that point is very clear, inshallah. May Allah make it easy for all of you. May Allah grant you and I that strong mentality towards sin, that I can quit it, I can be away from it. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Lastly, of the steps that perhaps we can protect ourselves from falling into is what Yusuf alayhi salam did. Now the sin, khalas, isma, shabab, akhawat, the sin, the ma'asiyah is fast approaching. Okay, mayday, major, okay? What should we do now? Yusuf alayhi salam went through this. Allah says in the Quran, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. There was a lady, she locked the doors, prepared herself for Yusuf to commit a ma'asiyah, a sin. Okay, clear. Now, what did Yusuf alayhi salam do? He did three things. He's a pure genius alayhi salam. May Allah allow us to remember these three. Ready? You have to remember, inshallah. Number one, he says, مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. I seek Allah's protection. I seek refuge in Allah. So number one, you feel there's a ma'asiyah, you're scrolling online, sha'ar, if someone passes by, you feel like you're cornered, I'm about to fall into this haram. Number one, a'udhu billah. Khalas? Number one is what? A'udhu billah. Number two, innahu rabbi ahsana mathwai. Yusuf, he remembered the blessings he had. So let's assume the sin is the eye, involving the eye, involves the eye. Something haram on the screen. So number one, a'udhu billah. Number two, Yusuf alayhi salam remembered the blessing, the ni'mah. So in our situation, the example is the eyes. How can I use the eyes which I have? How to use it in a way that is disrespectful to Allah? Allah gave me my sight to look at that which is haram. Wallahi la yajuz. This is not appropriate. This is my thank you back to Allah to see things that He told me not to see. Subhanallah. It's like a father gives his son a new car. Then he gets this car and he speeds and he never answers his dad and mom when they call him. And he's always with his friends. I gave you the car so you can treat me like this. I gave you the money so you can do this to me. Isn't that very rude and disrespectful? Allah's the best of examples. When he said that in the Quran, Yusuf alayhi salam, he feels in peace in this house. He was in the well. He was about to die. Now that I have a place, now that I'm secured, this is how I will thank Allah back? No way. That's number two. So number one, a'udhu billah. Number two, think of the blessing Allah gave you, which you're about to use against Allah. Because we never commit a haram, we never do something wrong unless we had to use a blessing Allah gave us. One more time. We never do something that is wrong and haram except that we had to use a blessing Allah gave us. So he remembered the blessing. Number three, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Yusuf alayhi salam realized the oppressors are never successful. So he remembered the punishment. If I watch this, if I click that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may ruin my sight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may ruin my iman above that. If I do this thing, I may be disgraced in Jahannam. I might be embarrassed in front of the billions of people on Yawm al-Qiyamah. I might get caught by mom and dad, for example. So you think of the consequences. So number two, a'udhu billah. Number one, a'udhu billah. Number two, think of the blessings. Number three, think of the punishment if you end up continuing or falling into that sin. May Allah protect us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabb. Allahumma jannibna al-fitna ma zahara minha wa ma batan. May Allah protect you and I from all fitnas, the ones that are clear and the ones that are hidden. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your time. I want to conclude with very important points, okay? Very important points. You know how to hunt a wolf in a tundra? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What kind of conclusion is this? Hold on. Do you know how to hunt for a wolf in the tundra? I don't know. There's a motivational speaker that gave this example. He says, you go get a double-edged or bladed knife. Okay. Then you find some blood of a seal or an animal that died in that tundra. You dip that knife, the double-edged knife, into that blood until it becomes frozen around it and it becomes a popsicle. But of course, a popsicle that is blood, and in it is not a wooden stick, but a double-edged knife. And you place it into that snow. Then the wolf, when the wolf smells blood, it gets so excited. And the wolf approaches that blood and starts licking and licking that blood. And when it licks that blood, the warmth from the breath of the wolf and the body of the wolf melts that blood. And the more the blood melts, the closer the tongue of the wolf is to the actual knife. So the wolf licks and licks and licks until all the blood that was frozen is gone. And then the wolf makes a last lick and he cuts his tongue because it's a double-edged knife. When he cuts his tongue, what do you think happens? The wolf gets more excited because now there's fresh, warm blood. And he continues to lick and lick until he dies out of how much he bled, or it bled. You're like, what in the world is this example? The wolf, brothers and sisters, focused so much on the pleasure that he ignored the pain and the destruction of the action that it was doing. It was 2-3 minutes, but the expense of that was a complete misery that caused the death of that wolf. Many of us, may Allah forgive us and protect us, or some people that we may know, they're into, for example, drugs, into haram habits, in the way they're dealing with others, cheating, lying, betraying. They're so focused on the pleasure that they forgot of the consequences and the destruction of what they're doing. So beware of that. Don't be like that wolf. And if I were to end in my conclusion with one thing, it will be the following. It will be a very famous story, but I want you to never forget this one. This will be my end. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about a man who killed 99 people. I know it, I know many of you know it, but pay close attention, please, with the context that we're talking about. That man killed 99 people. Do you know how miserable is that? That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. But this man eventually, after 99 people of killing them, he felt bad. And then he went to someone who appears to know about the deen. Okay, he's an abid. He's just an elite worshipper, but not a scholar, not an alim. So he went to him, he said, listen, I killed 99 people. This is a disaster. He killed 99 people. He asked him, do you think I have room for Allah to forgive me? Do you think I have room for Allah to accept my return and my tawbah? So this man said, you killed 99 people? Of course not. Well, you're a loser. 99 people. So this man who killed 99 people, he said, if that's the case, come here. And he killed the guy. So now it's 100. But he still had the ounce of feeling bad in him. Then he went to a alim, to a scholar, naam, a alim, who understands the deen, a doctor in the deen. So he went to him and he said, Sheikh, alim, I killed 100 people. Is there any room for me to be forgiven? Is there any room for Allah to accept my return? And before I tell you the response, because 2021, I guess, I don't know, but I should give a quick disclaimer here, is that don't be too busy with how would it be fair if Allah forgave that guy who killed 100 people while he oppressed them. Allah will take care of the 100 people in the way that Allah sees best. Don't worry about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how He handles things. He knows what He's doing. He is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, Al-Alim, the All-Knowledgeable. Back to the hadith. So this man who killed 100 people, he asks the alim, the scholar, I killed 100 people. Is there any room for me to be forgiven? Do I have a chance? So the alim says, of course you have a chance. And who in the world can put a barrier between you and Allah's mercy? A barrier between you and returning back to Allah? He says, yes, you have a chance. But there's something I gotta tell you. The alim, the scholar, out of everything in the world that he knows, he will tell him one thing to do, one thing only, to change his life. The one who killed 100 people. So what about you? What about you and I? Right? What about you and I? He said, you are surrounded by people who are corrupted. You have horrible friends. Your friends are messed up. Okay? So, nas su. So what do you suggest? You need to let go of that atmosphere. You need to leave. You need to leave. That atmosphere keeps making you fall into sin. You're not praying on time. There's no that support system. You gotta leave. Actually, they're encouraging you to disrespect Allah. So you gotta leave and go to another group of people, another city, where there are people that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unas salihun, righteous people. That's what you gotta do. That's the only thing he told him? That's the only thing he told him. But what about like a couple pamphlets, books, how to pray? That's good, that's good. But the alim, he knows. If he does this move, if this man is surrounded by righteous people, he will get the whole package. The whole, everything he needs to know, inshallah. This man appears to be sincere. After killing 100 people, he takes the advice to heart. He packs his stuff, and now he's traveling from one location to the other location. Brothers and sisters, as he was traveling, what happens? He dies. Subhanallah. On the way from that place to this place, as he was traveling, he died. So then, for the first time that I'm aware of, the both groups of angels come to the same soul. The angels of punishment and the angels of mercy, they come to the same person. So they were arguing. Now the angels were arguing. No, we will take his soul because he killed 100 people. So he needs to go to the right place for that. You know, like, you know, he needs to get punished. The angels of mercy, they were talking back. They said, no, he was going to repent. He's going to change his ways. So we take his soul. You know, he was changing. Back and forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a judge to determine which group of angels take the soul of that man. So that judge says, we will measure the distance from the city that he lived to where he died, and from where he died to the city that he's going to. Whatever he's closer to, he will be taken by the appropriate group of angels. Agreed, agreed. And when they measured the distance, the man died closer to the city that he was going to, closer to the city that has righteous people. And guess who took his soul? The angels of Rahmah. Can you imagine that? If the one who killed 100 people had a chance, you and I should never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what's very interesting? It's as if the thing that determined whether this man goes to hell or goes to heaven was who were his friends. Because since he was closer to the righteous, he went with them. Had he been closer to the wicked and the losers, he would have went to wherever they would have went. May Allah forgive us. May Allah make you and I of At-Tawwabin. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And just like how you and I and many people do not like when people call us only when they need something, only when they are in trouble, you and I should not call God and reach out to Him only when we are in trouble. Reach out to Allah when things are going great, when things are smooth, so Allah may help you when we are all in trouble. May Allah forgive us and make us of At-Tawwabin. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.